Last week, Revelation, we began chapter 20. If there's any question about this being the finished work of Christ, it should be erased by now. This entire book testifies of the finished work of the Son of God. Last week, we talked about the angel, of course, who was the Lord Christ, who came down from heaven, laid the glory that God had aside, took upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh, yet without sin. His body was nailed to the tree, became sin for us. He laid his life down to cleanse us from our sins. He had a great chain in his hand, laid hold on the devil. We could not know God. We could not see God. We could not approach to God. All of that because of Adam's sin. Can't blame sin on the Lord. By one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. That was Adam. Christ redeemed us. Christ cleansed us. We can now know God and appear before God by faith. When this day we're about to talk about, the resurrection, we'll see God with our eyes. We will see the Lord Jesus Christ with our eyes. Cannot imagine. But he laid hold on the devil. He bound him that he could not. Remember this. This is so important in this book. Revelation of what? Christ. Manifestation of what? The Father, the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ. Making known God to us who were without God in the world and unable to come unto God or know God, and by our very nature hate God by what we are in fallen Adam. He's revived us. He's given us life. He took that devil. He bound him that we would not be deceived. People call this, say this book that was opened was the book of the knowledge of what's contained in Revelation. And I'll have that greatly. But to me, I like to think of it as the book of life. For life is to know God. Life is to know Christ. We were without God in the world. We were dead in trespass and sins. Christ died for us. Christ cleansed us. He bound Satan for a period of time. People say, well, that's some time to come. I beg to differ. We covered that last week. The hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. He asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say that Jeremiah, Isaiah, one of the prophets. But whom say ye? Those to whom he had revealed himself, that I am. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did Jesus say? Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which art in heaven. This is revelation from God. And upon this rock I will build my church. That rock is the knowledge of Christ. That is our life. Christ is our life, to know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That is eternal life. So therefore, this book is about Christ opening the book of life. He's giving us the knowledge of the Godhead and of God and of all the Christ. Satan was bound. We see the thrones and they that sat upon them, the apostles and disciples in the first century as the books of the New Testament were being written and the foundation of the church was being laid to the apostles and prophets upon the cornerstone of Christ. Not the cornerstone of the ministry or the church or the choir. There's no glory to the church of its own. There's no light to the church of its own. Just like the sun and the moon. The moon gets light from the sun. Our light comes from Christ, the Son of God. Our glory comes from Christ, the Son of God. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. The thrones were the disciples, the apostles, a judge over the house of Israel with the foundation laid that Christ gave them, and they wrote and they carried on his instruction and what he had ordained how the church should be. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, okay? This was, if you remember correctly, we'll pick up about right here, I believe. The 1,000-year reign. This is not talking about some future time. Again, John 5. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Who are the dead? Every man from Adam on. I don't care if it's man, woman, child, old. Everyone. God created Adam in His image, good and upright. Adam rebelled against God. Adam sinned. Sin entered the world and death by sin. And Adam brought forth his son, Seth, not in the image of God, but in the image of man, a fallen sinner. We're all condemned by our very being. Our very existence is sin as long as we live in this flesh. So Christ gives us life. The Son of Man quickeneth whom He will. Where was I? I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, back to Revelation 6, for the Word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, it's a Roman beast, neither his image, neither had received His mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. What is this saying? What is this saying? Bring it down to a plain point. Those who are not born of God, because you must be born of God to know God, Christ must give you life, Christ must bring you to Himself, to the Father. Those that are not born of God by the choice, by the election of grace, by the work of the Son of God, those who are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they bear the mark of the beast. They worship man. They worship everything of the world because they know not God. These people who are born of the Spirit of God live and reign with Christ. We live because He hath quickened us who were dead in trespass and sins. Well, why would He do that? Because the Father gave the people that He loves to the Son. The Son agreed to die for them, and that covenant was sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. This is the purpose of God. In John 6, quoted so many times, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. He came to do the will of the Father." What's the purpose of all of this? We'll get into it, I hope, if I got time. That God be glorified. God is God. There is only one. He is alive. He's never had a beginning. He'll never have an end. By His mercy, by His grace, by His purpose being revealed to us. What's the book? Revelation. Be deceived no more. God hath revealed this unto you. By this revelation, we know Him, we see Him, and we cry out and praise to Him. Isaiah 38, if I ever get there. We celebrate the work of the Christ. The rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years were finished. We're here in the world. Christ has His kingdom, which He built, which He builds. He is the cornerstone. He laid that foundation. He caused apostles and prophets and ministry and all the things we see in Ephesians chapter 4 for the purpose of the church, for the ministry, the edifying of the church, for His glory. This is telling us how Christ came into the world, saved us from our sins, and established, if I can use that word, His church here in the world. Exactly in the way He would have it. I mentioned last week Charles Spurgeon calling us hard shells because we refuse to change. If we change it in any way, it's corrupted. We'll get into that in chapter 22. We want as close as sinful men can get to the church that Christ ordained. Yes, we benefit in that greatly, but the greatest thing of all is Christ is glorified. Those that are born of the Spirit of God live and reign here in this world over sin and death with Christ. Every child of God will be born of the Spirit at some point between conception and death. John the Baptist slept in the womb. When Mary came up with the Christ child in her womb, the thief on the cross, at the point of death itself, God gave him knowledge of Christ, and Jesus promised him a home in paradise. He was born of the Spirit. That very day, a home in paradise. The life from Christ. But the rest of the dead, those dead in sin, live not again till the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Okay, let's be very pointed. Christ came down. Christ laid His life down. We're baptized with the Spirit of God. We're given life in Christ. Those the Father gave Him are born again and changed at some point between conception and death. The church is here in the world. Christ established. Remember the 144,000 that bear witness to God in true doctrine and true practice that Christ has kept in God in this world. They're all part of the first resurrection. They're born of God, but still trapped in this body of clay, this body of sin. They're alive, they live and reign with Christ. They die, they sleep. The body sleeps, the spirit goes to glory with God. And where they see Christ, they are immediately with Christ. Don't care who they are, don't care what they did. If the Father gave them to the Son, let me say this in a way that even an Arminian could understand it. If they're a good person, if they have love in their heart, I'm not talking about love of football or love of some sport or hunting or fishing. I'm talking about love of God. How do we express that? Love of fellow man. If they've got love in their heart and they die, there will not be a good man in hell. So they're with Christ above because we're all totally depraved. And the only way to have any goodness at all is if God works it in us. So there's evidence where they are. The rest of the dead live not. Those that are dead in sin, that are not given to know Christ, they continue walking while they live in this world, dead in sin. No knowledge of God, want nothing to do with God by their very nature, just as we were by our very nature, hating God, loving self, loving Satan, loving the world. Don't understand why we don't walk with them. What is this? Why don't they run in excess of riot, Peter said, with us? We don't understand that. This is one reason the world is like it is and we suffer so greatly. Hang on to that. Let me get to going. But the rest of the dead live not again till the 1,000 years were finished. The reign of the church. I don't know when that is. I know it's already been 2,000. That's a figure of a long period of time. Some people try to sit down and say, well, it was so many years from this to that, and so many years from this to that, so this will probably be so many years from this to that. All that in the law is fulfilled. No man knows that hour but God Himself. Even the man of Christ does not know it. Only the God, the Father Himself. I wish it was yesterday. We'd be seeing Christ at a time where there is no time, eternal. People dread this. People fear this. I hope to spend enough time in this to give you an understanding of what the Bible says from beginning to end of the love of God upon His people and our Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for us and what He does for us and what He's going to do for us. The rest of the dead live not. They just kept right on in sin. When they die, they're still sinners. But there is a resurrection even for them. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such a second death hath no power. What does that mean? That means those that are born of the Spirit of God are blessed. They've been taken from death unto life. They've been translated into the kingdom of God by the Father. They have been given life by the Lord Jesus Christ. They shall never die. Yes, the body must pay for sin. The body will die unless you're one who is living when Christ returns, whenever that will be, hopefully very soon. But those that have part in the first resurrection, those that are born of the Spirit of God, on them, all those the Father gave to the Son, all those the Son died for, all those who love God, the second death hath no part. It has no power over them. They're alive and will never die. When their body's laid down to pay the sin debt, if you please, the Spirit is immediately with Christ. They'll never die. They'll never be dead to God. They'll never know death again. Take things in context. There's a death of the body. There's a death to God. There's a dead in sin. They'll never be any of those again. And the second death hath no power over them. What is the second death? It's a lake of fire and being banished from God. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We'll be priests of God. What does that mean? That means we will worship God in Christ. That's what a priest does. He worships. 1,000 years. The entirety of the time of the church, till the time the world ends, from Christ to the judgment, those that are born of God, those that love God, those the Son gave life, the elect of God in this world, shall serve God. It might not please me the way they do it. I may not even know they're children of God. They may live in some state. You won't hear an Arminian tell you this truth. But just like the thief on the cross, they may lie in some state which appears to be wickedness, which appears to be misery. And believe me, if we're in sin, it is misery. Been there, done that. But God, who quickens and gives life, sees in them. He sees who they are and what they are, and whether I approve of it or not makes no difference. I'm a created creature. God is a creator. What God does, what God sees, is sufficient to him. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's the church and the world. Now let's come. And when 1,000 years are expired, when God's purpose with his church in this world is expired, Lord help us, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. What is his prison? Let's bring that to remembrance again. Not get carried away with things we hear that are not true. He is bound from deceiving the children of God. We still suffer persecution. We still are murdered and raped and robbed and tortured for the name of Jesus Christ. There are still martyrs in this world. This gives us information that when they are martyred, immediately they're with Christ. Is that not a deliverance? Is that not a wonderful thing? When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. When God's purpose with the church in the world and this time that we reign is expired. Why would God do that? Satan will be loosed. Didn't say he'd get out. Didn't say he'd break out. Just like with Job, God suffered it to be. Why did God suffer it to be? For the glory of God. Satan will be loosed, and I do believe he already is. I'll get into some of that in just a second. Hopefully. Lord, retain my thoughts. that he can go so far. It's like the last charge. He can come out, he can deceive, he can deceive, he can deceive, turn men against one another, cause children to hate their parents, parents to hate their children. Oh, but don't we see that? Don't we see that today? Read 1 Timothy 4. Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some do depart from the faith. Where's the church, brethren? Churches are dying. Why? Because some depart from their faith. I believe in my heart, in the context of what the book of Revelation chapter 20 is talking about, Satan is already loosed. We're murdering children. They want to make pedophilia legal. This is not of God. Evil men, seducers, waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. 1 Timothy 4, read that and think about it. People giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, you don't have to get married and don't eat meat. Those are doctrines of devils. Chapter 3, 2 Timothy. Perilous times shall come, brethren. If they're not here, I don't want to be here when they come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, narcissism, me, 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 covetous, gold, silver, power, lust, boasters, how great we are. Mentioned last week in Daniel 12:4, men running around like a bunch of chickens with a head cut off, not knowing where they're going and all the knowledge God has put upon us, and none of them are acknowledging God or where it came from, but building themselves up. I'm talking about science, falsely so-called, those who say there is no God, the Bible calls them a fool. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unholy, unthankful, without natural affection, truce breakers. Read it, it goes on. Is that not where we are today? What Paul tell Timothy, continue in the things you do. Just continue. That's what we're to do. Stand with Christ against all these things. This is no big deal. This is promised. We know this is coming. Satan is loose. Why do churches close doors? People depart from the faith. Something gets in the way. We got the parable of the sower gives us some of those reasons. The bottom line is this. Satan, I do believe, is loose. Look at the change in the last 50 years. In not just this nation, but the world, the technology, the hatred. Satan has this whole world hating each other, wanting to destroy each other. Doesn't matter what nation, doesn't matter what race, doesn't matter what gender, all wanting to kill each other because Satan is loosed, I believe, out of his prison. It's not going to get better. Are we to worry about this? No. Read the rest. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. There's no coincidence, okay, that the Lord sent his angels, his preachers, to the four corners of the earth to gather by the gospel his elect among the Gentiles into the kingdom of God. I didn't say give them life. I said to the into the church, the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of the gospel to change life. Once God has given you life, life must precede action. Who are Gog? Who are Magog? Now this is a symbolic book and this is a representation. If you turn to Genesis chapter 10, you see in verse 2, the descendants of Japheth, who, where the Gentiles came from, a grandson of Noah, son of Noah. These are his grandsons. Magog, a Gentile. What do we see here? Gog and Magog, Revelation 20. We have Gog. Magog is representing Gentiles. Hang on to that. Pray for me. Chapter 5 of 1 Chronicles, we find Gog, who is a son of Reuben, a son of Israel. Reuben was the firstborn, the first four sons of Jacob are so important to the law of servants. Jacob, the firstborn. Levi, attached to. Simeon means the Lord has heard mine affliction. He's looked upon me. And Judah, which means praise. That represents the law of service and all that was entailed in that. So we see who they were, symbolically, what they're talking about. The Satan will go all over the four corners of the earth, deceiving, deceiving, deceiving. What did Paul say? Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The seed of the Gentiles and their doctrine, this is about doctrine. This is about knowing Christ, knowing God. They'll be deceived. And then God, representing, coming from Reuben, representing the law of service, how many today are deceived and believe that they're actually able to work their way to heaven or buy their way there or whatever heresy they've been convinced of by someone who deceived them? God help them. That's my prayer every day. Help me first, because I'll fall if you don't. But help them. But the point of the text is this. And if we don't see it today, we're just not looking. The whole world in rebellion against the people of God. The four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. What kind of fight are we fighting? This is a spiritual battle. This is not talking about armies and cannons and nuclear weapons and all these things. This is a spiritual battle where Satan walketh about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. This is about being the knowledge of God being taken away from you. Why are the Democrats so intent on removing the name of Jesus Christ from this country? Ask yourself that. Pardon me. It's about deception. And they went up on the breadth of the earth. They can pass the camp of the saints. I hear people say, well, you know, they're going to be over there in Jerusalem. They're going to surround it. If we use the thinking, as many do, that they're going to surround Jerusalem, why is it Jerusalem? That's the law. Why would it not be in Rome? There's the New Testament temple, if you please, as it was. And I'm not going to 2 Thessalonians 2, but I'll tell you this. Your body is the temple, okay? Christ is in you. We'll cover that some other time. But I want you to understand. They went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. The children of God are compassed with evil and darkness and deception and hatred. If that's not manifested today, we're not looking. Does that mean we're to fear? I trow not. Does that mean we're to be scared and fearful? We are to serve the living God. God is with us. God fights for us. They seek to destroy us. They seek to devour us. Satan, demons, devils, those non-elect left in their own state by nature. They can pass the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, the church. Oh, how I love this. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Okay. Now, let's touch on that. Paul said in one place, Where am I going? Hebrews chapter 1. Paul said in one place that our God is a consuming fire. What does he mean? He means that God cannot be looked upon. God is above sin. Sin cannot exist before God. The glory of God will devour all sin, all unrighteousness, and let's just go ahead and say it now, everything that God has not chose to preserve will be destroyed in His presence. His glory. For thine eyes are far too pure to behold iniquity. But thou hast beheld Him. How did He behold iniquity? That's us in Christ. But the point is, God cannot look upon sin. Sin cannot exist before God. Hebrews 1, verse 3. Speaking of Christ, the Son of God, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. This man, Jesus Christ, laid the glory of the Godhead aside to come into this world to dwell among us. Had He come in the fullness of His glory, the world would have been consumed. Adam had just sinned and God drove him from the garden. Why? That he wouldn't be consumed. Adam walked with God in the garden. Adam could no longer do that. Why? Because he was a sinner. Christ laid the glory of the Godhead aside and came to this world. Didn't lay aside the power or the wisdom, the glory. Our God is a consuming fire. Now let's go to Matthew 25, verse 31. May come back to it in a minute. When the Son of Man, that is the flesh, Christ, God in the flesh, when the Son of Man, all God, shall come in His glory. John 17, He said, return unto me the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He is in the glory of the Godhead, the express image of His person, the brightness of His glory. Sin will be consumed. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, this is the resurrection. Then He shall sit upon the throne of His glory. He is the image of God. He is the glory of God. Let me catch one if I can find it. 2 Peter. I'm going to get into this more next week, or when we get into the next chapter, whenever that is. Speaking of the new heaven and new earth, and that's exactly what it's talking about, where we'll dwell in eternity. But this is talking about that time coming. And I want to draw your point to Christ being the glory of God and all of these things being consumed by the glory of God, for our God is a consuming fire. Verse 10, 2 Peter 3. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, the night in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. I believe that's the voice of the archangel. At the last trump, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Our God is a consuming fire, the glory of God destroying and consuming everything that is tainted with sin. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up, destroyed, burned. It's sin. It cannot exist before God. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, watch this, wherein the heavens being on fire, the glory of God consuming the heavens, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, when Christ appears in His glory. When does this happen? It's coming very soon. When the Son of God appears in the eastern sky in His glory. What is His purpose? We're going to talk about that. I'm not going to be able to finish this today, but we're going to talk about that. to gather His people, to gather those Christ died for, to gather those the Father gave Him, to gather all the elect of God for the purpose of God in the election of grace. Let me give you something in Isaiah 38. I mentioned this earlier, maybe. I'm not sure if I did or not. Reading these this morning, and it hit my mind while I was sitting there drinking coffee how perfect this is as we talk about the Lord. Let me go to 25 first. I'll get into this in a minute. Or next week, whenever. Isaiah 25, speaking of death, verse 8 says, He will swallow up death in victory. That is Christ. We see in verse 19 of chapter 26 of Isaiah, Thy dead men shall live together with my dead body, so they arise. That is in the work of Christ. Let's go to Isaiah 38. Yeah. Verse 18, For the grave cannot praise thee. What is the purpose of all things? Period. That the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in the flesh, exalted high above all other things, will be praised. Now you remember that. For the grave cannot praise thee. It cannot. It's dead. Death, watch this, cannot celebrate thee. We're alive. Do we understand? We are to celebrate. You know, sometimes I watch these funerals and things from down at New Orleans, and I don't agree with all that, but that's their culture and what they do. Play the horns, march, they all rejoice. The first time I heard about a wake, what is a wake? It's where they celebrate the dead, the one who had died, that God had brought them through this world and now they're with Him. We're to celebrate. The grave can't celebrate. Death cannot celebrate. We're given life. That we celebrate. That we give glory to God. Not by our works of righteousness. Not for anything that we have done or could do. We're bankrupt. We have nothing to pay. But Christ died for the ungodly. Those the Father gave Him. All of them have life in Christ. That's a reason to celebrate. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living. Are you alive? Do you love God? You are alive. The living, He shall praise thee, as I do this day. Now this is regarding Hezekiah, but the point is made in Scripture, pointing to Christ, who would die for us, and take us from death unto life. And we're to celebrate. We're to celebrate the Lord. I don't have time to get into 1 Corinthians 15, but I'm going to try. Where was I over here? Fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. It's a good time, Jenny. Let's go back. Mark 1 Corinthians 15, if you read, and turn over to Hosea 13. We find in 1 Corinthians, get that bookmark out of there, 15, speaking of that day, of us being changed, corruptible, made incorruptible, mortal being immortal, the statement is made in verse 55, Well, verse 54. So when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, and this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Isaiah 25, we see where the Lord said death would be swallowed up in Him. That's speaking of Christ. Hosea 13:14. Forgive me. Verse 14, speaking of God in Christ, I will. Don't you love those I wills? There's no doubt.
I will. He who spoke when there was nothing and the world was, said, I will. Count on it, brethren. Take it to the bank. Brother Hand, you say, put it in your pipe and smoke it. That's guaranteed. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. Death can't praise thee. The living praise thee. Christ has ransomed us. Christ has redeemed us. I will redeem them from death. You want to know what you're redeemed from? That tells you right there. You are redeemed from death. God has taken you from death. God hath given you life. That is what God does. He is the giver of life and the only one able. And we have it in the grace of God in Jesus Christ. We're not worthy of it. We can't attain to it. As a matter of fact, by our nature, we love the death we were in. But God. But God. Chris got on that Friday night. But God. Thank you, Lord. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy place. Death was destroyed by Christ who died and raised himself back up. O grave, I will be thy destruction. We'll die no more. The grave is gone. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. That's not talking about our repentance. God is saying, I will not repent from this. I will not change from this. God, who cannot lie, said, this will be. It is His purpose. He said, I will. But thanks, back to 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us, you who love God, you who are assembled here, 8, 10, 15, in this wide world, in this wide county, in this wide state, just a handful of people that God preserves and keeps together. There are more by multitude who will stand in heaven in immortal glory, but I'll tell you this, there are very few that realize the truth and give glory to the Father in heaven. When we pray, and our soul cries out, Abba, Father, and one's voice trembles and their heart wants to cry. That's glorifying to God. That's Father. Father, the Spirit moving, giving glory to God in that one person. God doesn't need multitudes to give praise to Him. God does not need multitudes to do anything. God works with a handful, the remnant of His people, as far as this text of worship is concerned. Back to Revelation 20. And they went up on the breadth of the camp and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. It's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. They're going to keep killing the unborn. They're going to keep trying to destroy everything that is of God. They're going to keep persecuting God's children and killing them by multitudes when they will not deny Christ. This happens in third world countries. And maybe they'll give you some indication of why they want to make this a third world country. Why the governments of men want this to be a third world country. Obama even said that. We need to be more like third world countries. It's all about control. It's all about denying the Lord Jesus Christ with great power. When they've taken away anything you have to resist with, you're at their mercy. God will not forsake us. Even then. You know, I thought it funny, and I'm going to say this. I made a statement when COVID started last year, China developed this as a biochemical weapon. But oh, no, no, no. What's coming out now? Satan is Satan. never doubt the wickedness of Satan, and he cannot be appeased. He will be destroyed, and God does that. We find that in the very next verse. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Well, the poor old devil. No. No. This is the enemy of God. He hates God. He hates Christ. He rebelled in the beginning because he wanted to be Christ. He's tormented. He's murdered. He's killed. Everything, physically speaking, through him came sickness, disease, result of sin. And he is deceiving and deceiving and deceiving. And just like Job, had God not restrained him, he would destroy Job. The Lord told Peter, I pray for thee, Satan's desire to sift thee as wheat. If it were not for the providence of God in our lives, we'd have been long sought gone. Brethren, it's not going to get any better. This world is darkness. This world is going to be destroyed. I find great hope that as we see the wickedness of the world and deception and all things that are happening in this day and age, that Christ is not far off from returning. The one time when he will. And the devil will be cast into the lake of fire, the beast and false prophet, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then we get to the judgment. I'll start on this and we'll pick it up again next week. Let me get my glass cleaner. My glasses are sweaty and I can't see through them. And I saw a great white throne. White is righteousness. Remember Matthew 17, where the Lord took Peter, James, and John apart. They were apart from the world for a while, so to speak, into a great high mountain. And he was transfigured before them. You read the accounts in the Gospels. He was whiter, whiter, clear, no sin, righteous, as he was transfigured. And they saw just a little bit more of his glory. This throne is the righteous throne of God. Isaiah 1, though your sins be as scarlet, yet they shall be white. White means sinless, righteous, righteous judge. And I saw a great white throne. I picture that this way, and I always have. And if I'm wrong, forgive me. But I see the Lord upon a throne so high up we have not even any ability or to attain the knowledge to know how high it is. And he's upon the throne, the beams of light, glory that Ezekiel saw around him. Can't look upon him. We can't look at the sun in the sky. Christ makes the sun dim, non-existent in comparison. Far above all of the things, high and mighty, sitting in judgment. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. Okay. We go right back to him being the express image of the glory of God. Everything, nothing can stand before him except that which it pleased God to save and sustain. Whether that's his elect people, whether that's the elect angels, everything that God did not keep is fallen. He sits on this throne. The earth, the heaven, all these millions of galaxies, all these billions of planets, corrupted by the sin of one single man, Adam, will be dissolved, flees away, It's gone. This is not making a different story. Peter said it's melted away, it's consumed. John here says it's gone. Well, they're both the same. Different context of explanation, but they're both the same. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. There is no place for this earth. It's sinful. It's contaminated with sin. It's dark. It cannot exist before God. It will be destroyed. It will be destroyed. And that brings us back to 2 Peter 3. We look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Peter talks in, I think, the third chapter of the book of Acts, maybe the fourth, I'll find it in a minute, maybe, about a restitution of all things. God will create a new heaven. Or maybe already has. We just don't know it. But there's a new heaven and a new earth which we look for, where we will dwell as children of God, with God, and God will walk with us, and God will love us, and we'll have no sin or no death or no sickness. That's what the Bible teaches. I'll leave 21 till I get there. But chapter 21. We'll get there soon. There was found no place for them. I'm going to close with that, but I want to go ahead. He sees the dead, small and great, stand before God. And there's opening of books. Men make great decisions of what those books are, or great questions. I see that in two ways. There's the books, which is plural. And that is the books of men's works. God have mercy. Please do not judge me by my works. If saying a word against the Holy Spirit is blasphemy and worthy of death in the lake of fire, how much worse do our actions condemn us? Lord, help us. It's all about grace. This is teaching us of the final victory. This is a symbol of the final victory. Things get worse and worse and worse and worse. And God appears, and we'll get into this next week, but He gathers all His children to Him.